Comforting the afflicted, afflicting the comfortable, bringing faith to the doubtful, doubt to the faithful, friend to the friendless, odor to the odorless, telling lame radio to rise and talk. It's Coast to Coast AM. My name is Ian Punnett, and we are all in a state of shock still, and a feeling of grief that is inconsolable at the loss of Ramona Bell, who is not just the spouse of a friend and a colleague, but to many people associated with the show over the years, a friend in her own right. And for so many of you listening, a major character in this show, both as Art's playmate, and there was a lot of play between the two of them, witness the prediction show from just last week, but also Art's muse in so many ways. And I had the pleasure of meeting her once. I will share that story coming up later on this hour, just after we do some email and some crypto news. And we'll do open lines for the rest of this hour. And then Peter Lance will join us next hour, five-time Emmy-winning investigative reporter. He does novels and writes screenplays. In 1981, Peter was an investigative correspondent for ABC News. In fact, one of the stories that we'll ask Peter about goes back a few years, back into his investigative reporter days. But he's been working, of course, heavily on the Abel Danger story. He was just on earlier this week on CNN with Lou. Following the 9/11 attacks, Peter began investigating the origins of the FBI's original probe of the World Trade Center bomber. And this has led to his most recent book and, for many of you, some ongoing dialogue on the air, which is the reason why Peter's back. We just had him as a first-hour guest about a month ago, and he had many things to say, even in that brief period of time, which generated a lot of email and many people that wanted to speak with him. So I will look forward to the caller segment coming up later on when Peter is on, and to picking up where that conversation left off with Peter Lance about Abel Danger, about a story that just broke last week from the Brooklyn DA's office about investigations into the murder of a mafia figure back in 1992, which Peter was also following, and many other related stories. I'm sure the people who have been emailing me about things that Peter said will be looking forward to the chance to talk with Peter about it coming up later on. Should be a very, very lively show. Lots of news and email to get to, and that recollection about the woman we all lost here at Coast to Coast AM, Ramona Bell, in just a few. On Coast to Coast AM, this is Ian Punnett. You can start calling at the bottom of the hour, and we'll line up the rest of your comments and questions and just have some open line fun this hour on Coast to Coast AM. Some crypto news that you can find in many cases on the coasttocoastam.com website, which included some very nice words about Ramona, I thought, and the condolences of many. A third child from the same family in eastern Turkey has died from bird flu on Friday. That's one of the Coast to Coast AM news stories. The health experts plan on studying the outbreak for signs that the virus was passed from person to person. But in this case, doctors are treating more than 20 other people, mostly kids, who were suspected of having the deadly bird flu virus. Some of the victims had been playing with the severed heads of infected birds that they had found in the neighborhood. That means 74 people have been killed in East Asia, and it is spreading to the fringes of Europe. A team of Columbia University and IBM scientists have created conditions necessary for, but not created, but taken that first step for the successful self-assembly of nanotechnological structures. Are we good with that? You can find more on that story at physorg.com, great science website, physorg.com. It's a new scientific breakthrough that would have essentially nanotechnological structures building themselves, kind of replicating, as opposed to having to machine them. It's just mind-blowing to me. By the way, in other news in the world of robots, you know, before they organize and take over the planet, Italy plans to have robots build a large telescope on the moon. The telescope will be built by robots and positioned in a lunar crater to give a new perspective on the Earth, you know, so they can see everything we do and then report them to the nearest cyber police officer that'll be on every corner. This is the grisliest story. I got this from FARC, F-A-R-K.com, but it is a link to Boston.com, where I guess they've known about this for a while, but it hasn't gotten much publicity, that some books in the 19th century used to be bound with human skin. Brown University has a couple of these. A number of prestigious libraries, including Harvard's, have books in their collections that are bound with human skin. It was a practice that is not uncommon, according to an expert on that, in the late 1800s. It indicates, this expert does, that this was not talked about in polite society, but it was just done. The best libraries then belonged to private collectors. Some were doctors who had access to skin from amputated parts and patients whose bodies were not claimed. And they did this as sort of this grisly irony. There's a couple of the books were anatomy books. One of those is called The Dance of Death. And it's just so awful to think about. Try not to think about that the next time you're holding a leather-bound edition of Mice and Men. The Wall Street Journal has reported that three Christian ministers claim to have snuck into a Senate hearing room in order to anoint the chairs that will be used for Samuel Alito's confirmation hearing in the coming week. We did adequately apply oil to all the seats, said the Reverend Rob Schenck to the Wall Street Journal. Schenck and his colleagues insisted that they aren't taking sides in the confirmation fight. But Schenck said that God is interested in, quote, what goes on in Alito's confirmation process. You know, if I'm a Democrat sitting in there in the Senate, I'm checking to make sure that these guys didn't put down a few, you know, thumbtacks on the Democratic seats. By the way, speaking of God taking sides, supposedly, the White House came out and sharply criticized Pat Robertson late on Friday for suggesting that Ariel Sharon's stroke was divine punishment. Well, I was glad to see they went out of their way to do that. Those comments were wholly inappropriate, offensive, and really don't have any place in this or any other debate, said a presidential spokesman. Even Richard Land from the Southern Baptist Convention's Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission said he was, quote, stunned and appalled that Pat Robertson would claim to know the mind of God concerning whether particular tragic events were the judgments of God. You know, it doesn't even make any sense, of course. I mean, you know, could it be that Ariel Sharon just was too heavy that he could barely, you know, keep his breath just walking down a hallway? You know, he's 1,000 pounds. He's blowing up like Violet Beauregard and Willy Wonka. I mean, could that just be it? And by the way, Sharon is improving tonight. Thank God, I would add, only for the sake of his family and all. Pat Robertson, if he's right, then what does that say about God? That he's not as good a shot as he used to be? That he doesn't smote like he used to be? There's this odd powder that's been floating all over the Chicago area. A strange rusty powder has appeared on cars throughout the Chicago area this week. My friend Laureen lives in Crystal Lake, which is up in the far northwest side of the suburbs. And all the way from there, all the way down to the southwest side, down to Homeward Flossmoor, where my friend Randy Eccles is from. They have this fine orange mist that goes all the way down there. The Environmental Protection Agency has sent out agents to collect evidence on the powder. That would be an interesting chemtrail investigation, wouldn't it? A spacecraft has sent a laser signal back to Earth from 15 million miles away. The Messenger probe exchanged laser signals with the U.S. ground station partway through its journey to the planet Mercury, 15 million miles. Then the message, by the way, is still no signs of weapons of mass destruction. And also this story, too, from coasttocoastam.com. A new chord was scheduled to sound in the world's slowest and longest lasting concert that is taking a total of 639 years to perform. Have you heard of this story? It's been out for a couple of years now, but now this new chord is coming. It's being done in Germany. A 639-year-long performance is a piece written by U.S. experimental composer John Cage. The first year and a half of the performance, there was total silence. The first chord didn't sound until February 2nd, 2003. On Thursday at 5 o'clock, the first chord was due to progress to a second and is to be held down over the next few years by weights on an organ being built especially for the project. But, you know, they're not exactly rushing into that. They got a little time to finish the organ. The piece is entitled Organ as Slow as Possible, and the performance began up September 5th, 2001. It is scheduled to last until 2639. Or, of course, you can always just go buy the boxed set CD with 180,000 compact discs in it if you want to. You know, that makes me want to just live long enough just to eat well and exercise and just be around in the year 2639 just so I can be the first joker there to yell, encore, encore. And for the record, too, I was around for the previous event that held the record for the world's longest performance. It was a high school production of the musical Cats. And it only felt like 639 years. But that was enough to take the record. Lots of email to get to. All of you, I'm sure, are thinking about Ramona. Many of you wrote. Regina said, as a listener base, can we make some good come out of this tragedy so that others, both with asthma and their loved ones, might not have to suffer the same as Art is now? Instead of flowers, donations to a worthy asthma charity or cat shelter, maybe, because of their love of cats. Several people made that point. Carol said the same thing. How about we make a donation to the Humane Society International in Ramona's memory? We believe that this charity would honor Ramona and her love of animals. I think it's very sweet. That's a great thought. Roger in Atlanta, my sincerest condolences to Art and his family on the loss of Ramona. He spoke of her so often. I knew he loved her dearly. I feel his loss in a little way tonight, too. The note scribbled by one of the dying miners, as per the news, the one that was written on his body, tell all, I see them on the other side. I love you. It wasn't bad. I just went to sleep. Roger says the second sentence was written at a different time than the first sentence, but by the same person. So when was that second sentence written? A lot of people have been wondering about that. And I think it's beautiful that many of you have wondered how you can help and whether or not you should say something. Of course you should, and there's a place where you can send your condolences at coasttocoastam.com. Thank you for this observation on the miners. If you go to google.com, Loosh sent this. If you go to google.com, you can type in 13 miners. And what you'll find is it says here a possible pattern of miners missing or dead in separate incidences, all with the same number of 13. I typed 13 miners into Google today and was very surprised when the results popped up. Let's still hold that last guy in our prayers, if you're inclined, or thoughts, I hope. Jennifer came to mind. Jennifer is the author of Ghostly Antiques and Ghostly Antiques 2. She emailed me a long time ago telling me the story about when she lost her daughter, and her daughter left her a message on the voicemail of her cell phone. She said it was a daughter, her deceased daughter, some months after her death. All she said was her name, but it was clearly her. Ryan, on the show about the China study, said, I wanted to tell you about our Temptation vegan ice cream. It's available in most health food stores. along the East Coast. Temptation vegan ice cream. I tried it. It is awesome. Thank you. WeLoveSoy.com is his website, but that was really good. The chocolate chip cookie dough, he says, is the best. Somebody else mentioning Grand Theft Auto. Remember, somebody thought I sounded like Laszlo in GTA 3, the person doing a radio show in Grand Theft Auto 3. Well, apparently, in Grand Theft Auto Liberty City Stories, they used the Coast to Coast AM theme song on the radio in one of those. Lloyd from Wichita asks about the flight TWA 800. Can you please ask Mr. Lance if there's any updates concerning this doomed flight and how he dispelled the missile theory? I'll ask him, Lloyd. James J. Wentworth. No, sorry. I guess I didn't mean to do that. James writes, I listened with great interest to your interview with Grand Archdruid John Michael Greer back in October. I was particularly intrigued by his explanation of shape shifting. One day last year, I accidentally achieved the conditions that allowed me to conduct such an etheric body shape shift into the form of a Blackshire draft horse. I have been trying to explain this state further. Since I was about 3 years old, I have known that I am a horse in human form. I have brief flashes of memories of standing in a stall on four hooves, pulling a cart, having great body inertia, and seeing with near panoramic vision and very different color perception. Over the years, I have communicated with other horses in our own equine, vocal, tactile, gestural language. I have been challenged by stallions. I have been propositioned by mares. I have also met other horses in human form who have had similar equine memories and experiences, James says. We were asked to incarnate in human form by our horse ancestors. That's the collective spirits of all horses who have ever lived and are yet to be born, in order to learn human language and perspectives and to influence human society. The human ancestors want us to persuade and influence humans to adopt the way of the horse, a way of life which values cooperation and gentle persuasion over conquest and domination, leading through focus and sharing wisdom rather than by force. This is what he believes is why he has the soul of a horse. I don't dislike the two-legged form I currently have, but I miss my natural equine form terribly. That one spontaneous equine shape-shifting experience I had last year was like a drink of water in a desert. John Greer wasn't the least surprised to find that horse souls are living in human form. He recommended his book, Circles of Power. I'm studying that. Thank you very much for having him on your program. Till I Wear Iron Shoes Again. Signed, James, or Jason. And yes, thank you for that. Can I make a recommendation? I think you might a very interesting guest on, so I just might have to try and track him down. But as to that thing about being propositioned by mares, just to make sure that you are available, if we're going to have you as a guest, if a mare propositions you, I wouldn't follow up on that. That might be a tough sell to a judge. You have to go in front of a judge and say, hey, she started it. But very interesting. And thank you. By the way, you guys should take a look at this for the potential of a show. It's very fascinating. Apparently, from a trustworthy source, ChappelleTheory.com. Dave Chappelle, the guy that was on Comedy Central, ChappelleTheory.com. Keith says, I like your work. I don't think you have a ferret face. It's some kind of a rodent. Though, thank you, Keith, from Arizona. Here's a factoid, says John. We both know you're three cylinders short of a double-decker tour bus in London. Whenever you want to step out of the shadows on this, I'll be there for you. Thank you. And thank you to everybody who has written or spoken about the loss of Ramona. A thought on that coming up in just a minute. I'll do it after the break, and then we'll go to your open lines. I was watching Enemy of the State in preparation for the show a little bit, thinking about NSA and thinking about listening and all of that. And I just kept thinking about that Will Smith, Gene Hackman movie. And, you know, it's about how a guy is deemed as being the enemy of the state. And it turns out good for him in the end. But along the way, the person that is the villain in the movie, the real villain, in a movie that was made in the late, what, 90s? His birthday was 9/11. The enemy of the state, the actual character in the movie, they give his birthday and it's 9/11. Keeps making me think. Take a look at that movie sometime. We'll follow up on that conversation a little bit later on with Peter Lentz. Open lines coming up on Coast to Coast AM. Open lines means just that. And although we're grateful for all of the communications about the loss of Ramona Bell from our Coast to Coast family, and in many ways, I think for several of the people who have emailed in this week, they feel like a loss in their own family. Perhaps the best way to do that is to send a card or a letter, and you can get the address for that at coasttocoastam.com. I know Art appreciates everybody's condolences, and there have been a lot of those already. I wanted to add a memory. I think it's a way of making people immortal, is to always keep them in our minds in the present. And I have had both the distinct pleasure of talking to Art several times on the phone, meeting Art in person, and also meeting Ramona. Not everybody has had that opportunity. I had met them at a talk radio seminar a couple of years ago. It was back in 2001, in spring of 2001. Art had been gone from the show for a while, and I had been filling in a lot back in those early days, 1999, 2000, 2001, before and after Mike Siegel. And it was after Mike had left and Art was coming back, I filled in quite a bit. And Art was going to be making his first appearance in front of radio industry executives at this seminar in Los Angeles. And I looked forward to the opportunity to meet him. I didn't know I was going to meet Ramona. And I talked to Art briefly in the hallway, I think, and then a few minutes later bumped into him again, this time with Ramona Bell, as they were getting off the elevator. And I came up, and although I had seen Art previously, we hadn't really had a chance to chat, and I introduced myself to him, and we spoke. And he was very kind and said, thank you for all the fill-in work. And he thanked me for being part of the team and stuff. And I thought that was way cool. It was nice to shake his hand. But what I remember so well was Ramona, who gave me a big hug. And she was so sweet, because that night at the talk radio seminar, I had agreed to fill in that night on Coast to Coast, and I probably was late February 2001, and did a weeknight. It was a Thursday night or a Friday night or something, so that he and Ramona could have a night out with some of these radio executives and just be on the town. And so she thanked me for that. She said, thank you for doing the show tonight so we can go out. And we talked for a minute or two, and I shook Art's hand again, and Ramona gave me another hug. And I remember going on the air that night kind of bragging about that, having fun with the idea that I got a hug from Ramona. And it was just sweet. And it was my dominant memory of that whole talk radio seminar. I had bumped into them again a couple of times over that weekend. But the part that I remember best was that part I remembered first. And the two memories that I have from my longest conversation with Art ever in person are these: that you couldn't put a piece of paper between Art and Ramona. They were standing so close, almost cuddling as we were talking, which I thought was very sweet. And secondly, although it was way cool to meet Art in the flesh and actually have a chance to speak for a minute, The part that I remembered most was Ramona. I remembered everything she said to me. I just felt this connection to her, just even for that moment. And I'm sure people who had a chance to meet her felt that same way, too. She was so outgoing, and it's so sad that art is, and so many people are so sad tonight in their families. And I know we all wish we could do something about that. But what we can do is remember what we have and to think about ways in which we could offer something ritually, like a donation in her name, or remembering her every time you put your change in one of those jars by the cash register that goes to help the local cruelty societies, the anti-cruelty societies, that sort of thing. So if you just do that, just remember, if you could, Ramona in some small way this week or into perpetuity. It'll be your way of helping to keep her memory alive for art. And remember the words of Robert Fulghum. And it's so appropriate for both this show and for her, I think, that imagination is stronger than knowledge. Myth is more potent than history. Dreams are more powerful than facts. Hope always triumphs over experience. Love is stronger than death. It's been said that each of us can influence up to 250 people in our lifetimes. How will you be influential? Be bold, and mighty unseen forces will come to your aid. Open lines next on Coast to Coast AM. The Emmy Award-winning Peter Lance coming up after the top of the hour, and we'll talk both about Abel Danger, like he was earlier this week on with CNN earlier this week, and also following up on some of the other stories he's been investigating. But I know it's the 9/11 investigations, that conspiracy, which generates a lot of phone calls. Peter's take on this is very strong, and I look forward to hearing this conversation as it develops throughout the evening. But first, let's go to the first time caller line for open lines for the rest of this hour. And Brian is on Coast to Coast AM. Brian?
Yeah. Hey, Ian, how's it going?
Terrific. And you?
Good, good. First, thanks for that piece on Ramona. That was well worded.
Thank you.
But yeah, I'm calling because the that little anecdote you had about the movie Enemy of the State.
Anecdote? Yeah. It's really freaky weird to me. I mean, it actually churned my wife's stomach because it was just so weird that this character should be born on 9/11 and he's the enemy of the state in the movie.
Yeah, exactly. And I was just calling because I noticed, are you familiar with the movie The Big Lebowski?
Yeah, that was a while ago,
yeah.
But sure.
Okay, you know, in the very
Brothers.
Beginning? When the dude is writing the check for the half and half or whatever that he's buying at the grocery store.
Was that 9/11 too?
Yes, it was.
Oh, that's weird.
First time I noticed that. Yeah, it turned my stomach. Even though the movie has nothing to do with, you know,
right, nothing at all. I mean, it's kind of goofy Coen Brothers kind of thing. But that's interesting because, I mean, of all the dates, I mean, what an odd date for that to be linked to constantly. And maybe it's just because we're aware of 9/11 and we don't see all the other ones, but I mean, it just sort of seems like, you know, the odds of what, one and out of 365, that if they're going to pick a date at random, that they'd pick that one. But still.
Exactly. It definitely catches your eye though, doesn't it?
It does, doesn't it? Thanks, Brian. I appreciate that. Let's go east of the Rockies. David is on Coast to Coast AM. David, where are you going to take us?
Oh, this is Dave. I'm calling from Burlington, Vermont. I'm listening to you on 1080 out of Hartford.
That's a beautiful, beautiful part of the country. There's a restaurant in Burlington that I just remember going to, and it was like in an old factory down by the river or something. Does that sound familiar? It was just, it was like the best corn chowder I'd ever had. I'll always remember it fondly.
Yeah, look out the window and you just see the river.
Yeah, it was just, it was amazing.
Beautiful place. Listen, I had an epiphany the other day. George and Art talk about time travel quite a bit.
Sure.
And we get into, if you get into a meditative state, it's almost at some point you stop time.
Good.
Have you ever done that or you've heard of that?
Oh, I mean, I was part of a Buddhist meditation class for the entire fall, and it certainly slows down time where suddenly you really aren't, you seem unaware of or almost immune to the space-time continuum for a period of time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, with that said, and you as a minister, I want to know what you think of the epistle. I think it's the Epistle of St. James, when they describe the birth of Christ. That time, is it, am I right with this, that time stopped for a split second?
Well, I'm not entirely sure that you have that exactly right, but I will tell you that in general, remember just sort of how the Bible is framed, that time is not thought of as linear in the time in which all of the scripture that we know as the Bible, either the Hebrew Bible or the Christian Bible, was written. Time was thought of as cyclical.
Mm-hmm.
And not in the way in which we think about it now, like a timeline marching forward.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's a fairly modern industrial concept to begin with, that time is like points on a line moving, you know, like we would see at the bottom of a history book or something. Time was much more cyclical. So that was a belief that you could actually find yourself back on the same point in time, in the same place or the same, doing the same thing. And it puts you in connection with your ancestors that you just, cause that's what time was, seasonal in that way. So it wouldn't have been a strange concept to think of. It wouldn't be like we think of time, like jumping forward into time.
Mm.
You know, it was really more time. I don't know if I'm doing a very good job explaining it, but it was conceived differently. So wouldn't surprise me. And I'll go back and I'll double check on that. And thanks for that, David. It's been a while since I've spent any time with that particular epistle. Let me get to Jack on the international line. Hey, Jack.
Good morning, Ian. Right.
Where are you going to take us?
Well, I just wanted to say I didn't know Ramona by any means, but having listened to you and George, she must have been an incredible woman.
Oh, she was very sweet.
Yeah, I think we're all kind of feeling it. Well, I was just thinking, I'm an American citizen, born and raised. And I spent some time in Alberta, Canada, where I'm calling you from now. And a thought has hit me over the last, probably the last 6 months, and it's just been bugging the heck out of me that all we do in the United States and all we're capable of as being a front country and so forth, something that never gets mentioned, that really should be mentioned every night on the news. Guess what, guys? Children are going to bed hungry tonight all over the United States for all the money we have, for all the bullets we have, for all the potential and growing and wheat and sources. And nobody mentions the kids, be it from West Virginia type of area, the Appalachians,
mm-hmm.
to all around America and maybe all around the world. But just dealing with, say, America for the moment. It's just an incredible thought that nobody ever talks about it.
And it's not spoken of enough other than public service announcements, perhaps, or the occasional news story. Let me ask you, what are you doing about it?
Well, what I'm trying to do about it now is raise that awareness. And my 2006,
resolution?
Resolution, thank you, was to commit myself in a much bigger way, first to maybe make a statement about it, hopefully on the radio where X amount of millions of people might actually stop and think of it.
Okay, you've done that. Now what?
And then to involve myself in it directly.
Yeah, I mean, I would go directly first. And, I mean, you've achieved this anyway, which is good. But, I mean, it comes right down to it is statements made on the radio aren't a whole lot different than statements made by governments that say we're going to do something about it. True. It doesn't actually put any food in any kids' bellies. And I appreciate you raising awareness, but let's be totally frank about that. If we're going to be talking about starving kids, let's not feed them on our rhetoric. Let's feed them with, you know, the money that we're going to, you know, pledge to and then follow through on to donate.
And yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, and I feel so helpless by comparison. I guess that's what compelled me to say that.
But it can only be done one person at a time.
Yeah.
I mean, we can, I mean, honestly, governments are fine, and it would be great to have improved funding for a lot of these government programs, et cetera. But still comes down to it is, in order for, before we can ever in life, any of us, you know, point the bony finger of blame at somebody else, we have to ask ourselves, what are we doing about it?
I'm more asking, in a sense, I guess, you to tell me. To answer me and to enlighten me more than I'm pointing a finger and I'm just telling
you. Well, I appreciate that, but I mean, you could go online right now. You could call a 1-800 number right now. And even for one of those simple charities that provides food for children in third world nations, you know, in developing nations, you could send them a little bit of money right now every day. I mean, that's just a start. And
then
you got a change jar and every day. You know, how much can you donate to your local food shelter because they can buy in bulk and provide meals to people that way. We have many charities like that here in the Twin Cities. So just keep those things in mind and just keep trying to invent new ways and remind me again in an email and I'll mention it again. Okay.
That's super. Thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
Your heart's in the right place. Thank you, Jack. Appreciate it. Let's go to Jason, Wildcard Line on Coast to Coast AM. Jason.
Oh, hello, Ian. I'd like to say my condolences to Art, but I would like to give a short message of hope. Those virtuous and good souls like Ramona are basking in the presence of the light, whatever name that light you may give. And just know that they'll be reunited. You'll all be reunited with the ones that you part from.
I love that thought.
And I just wanted to put out the fire between the time track and the astrologers on one of your previous shows.
Okay, you got to be quick about that because not everybody would have heard that. And that was a show that ran back in the summer. So.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
It's okay.
Played on repeat.
Yeah, it did.
Well, okay, then never mind. There's something the other gentleman said. Never mind. I forgot what the other comment I was going
to
make.
I don't mean to throw you off with that. I really don't. It's just everybody hears the replays and not everybody gets that. But I really do appreciate that. In fact, if you think about it, email me. I promise you I will recapture this conversation and I'll share it next week. Okay.
Okay.
And
have a good one.
I'm sorry to throw a wrench into you like that.
Not a problem. I just, you know, forgetful.
God bless you. Let me get to Doug, Wildcard Line on Coast to Coast AM. Doug? Oh, Doug's gone. Then I'll get to Dave, west of the Rockies, and wrap her up before we get to Peter Lance. Dave?
Hi, Ian. First of all, let me say I was a 17-year listener to Art when he was on regular, and I know from his programs how much he loved her.
Oh, yeah.
And I send my condolences. And number two, the movie Enemies of the State, I well remember. And I want you, if you want your adrenaline to really run, get a hold of The Siege with Denzel Washington.
Seen it, yeah.
Bruce will see it again. It was like a prophecy as to what is close to going down here in the United States right now against the same people.
Well, that's interesting because I found Enemy in the State to be so prophetic about all of the conversation about
it. Was great also. Yeah. Okay, I'll let you try and get another listener on. And,
No. I appreciate you reminding me. In fact, that's all the time that we have probably for open lines now.
Okay.
But but thank you.
You have a great night.
Thank you. And I know you're going to enjoy this conversation coming up with Peter Lance. I know that we're grateful all the time for people to email and to write, and just keep that in mind on the address that's available on the website or making a donation to either a humane society or to, you know, an asthma research group in Ramona Bell's name. If you want to do something, I think that's terrific. And anything that we can ever do like that says something about both us as a coast-to-coast community and, of course, as a world. There is no grief like the grief that does not speak. So it's okay also for those people who don't want to communicate to just hold her in their hearts, because tears are that silent language of grief. Peter Lance next.